Welcome back to another installment, episode 108, actually, of the Chaos Ball Podcast. And I'll say it right off the top, feels like it was a long time ago, but I miss Victor Robles. I miss him. It's been, I think, 13 days since I potted last, almost 2 weeks, and we lost Victor Robles to a net at Oracle Park. He made probably what is the catch of the season and sacrificed his shoulder for it. It was a tremendous catch in a crazy series versus the Giants. He made the out, but it was immediately apparent he got hurt. He fractured his shoulder. He's going to be out for, I think, at least 6 weeks since that happened, but probably more than that. I don't know when we're expected to see him back. I would guess 2 months and hope for the best. And it stinks. Without him on the field, it honestly stinks because he's so fun. You know, production-wise, he's been fine this year. He's been doing kind of what he did last year with the team. He was playing fine defense. He's run the bases very well. He was hitting line drives for singles, and he was doing his antics out there on the field. That's very important to have on a baseball team, and it makes this current baseball team a lot less fun. And the problem with how this team was built is that they weren't really built to replace an outfield injury like this. It kind of shuffles their infield up a little bit because it's probably less Luke Raley. It's been less Luke Raley at first base, more Donovan Solano and Rowdy Tellez, which haven't been great. Neither of them have been good. Rowdy, I still think, won't be on the team come May 1st. Solano, I think, will be since they gave him a full major league deal. But it just sucks. It sucks not to have Robles. And then, yeah, it shifts. Like, they've already tried to call Canzone up. That has not worked out. I don't know what they're going to do. And then it got coupled with Ryan Bliss tearing his freaking bicep, which blows. He was having a very nice start to his season, looking fine at the plate, looking very solid on defense compared to what we saw last year at second base from this team. Good on the bases. Just looked like it was a solid start for him. It looked like it was a decent platform for him to play second base basically full-time the rest of the season. And no, tore his bicep. And that stinks because that is a long injury. That is 3 months, maybe more. I think it depends on how his rehab goes, but that blows. That really stinks. So two bad injuries for this team who couldn't really afford that this early on in the season. They were already shorthanded on the pitching staff with George Kirby starting the year on the IL with a shoulder problem. And now they're short-staffed in second base, which is bad because it was already a terrible infield situation with this team. And then, again, you have Raley and probably Dylan Moore playing more corner outfield with Robles being hurt because the corner outfield options in the minor leagues are not good. And so that forces you to play a lot more guys in the infield than you might want to, a lot more Mastroboni. Again, like I said, Solano, Tellez. And then they called up Ben Williamson, which is crazy that they did it this early, but it was out of necessity. Like, I think if Ryan Bliss doesn't get hurt, I don't think Ben Williams is on the team right now. But he has started off his Mariners career in a pretty good fashion. A few hits here and there in the Red Series. He can throw to first without it skipping on the ground, so that's a plus. It was a real low bar, but that's where we were at with the team. And he just needs to barely hit to justify his play time. Like, if he can just maintain above a 600 OPS for this first like month that he's with the team and play as good of defense as he's supposed to this current team, how it's built, that is valuable enough to keep him on the team, especially because the alternative is nothing. Polanco is raking, but he can't play third, so he's probably going to play a little bit more second again, go back to second base. It's just a bizarrely built team. I think this is the weirdest DePoto team in years because of how much everything can shift around And like bringing back Polanco to play third base, and then he gets hurt, and he's clearly not a great third baseman, and he also can't hit from the right side right now because he hurt his side. You have Rowdy Tellez playing a lot more first base than he probably needs to. And then you have these very stable positions of left field, center field, catcher, and shortstop. And then outside of that, it's Dylan Moore floating around, and he's been awesome to start the season. But again, the alternative in the minors too, like your Mastroboni, Canzone, Samad Taylor's probably going to play a little bit this year. It's already been a bizarre group of players to get plate appearances for this team. And we're not even into the third week of April yet. So if any more injuries happen, it's going to be very strange. But the team is managing to win. Well, some of the time. They're 10-10. 10-10 after the Friday game. And I don't know if they're good. I don't know if this team is good. But luckily for them, the American League stinks out loud. The American League is so bad. For the even zooming in, the American League West is full of swill. Top of the American League West, League West is the Rangers, and they have the worst run differential in the division. It's them, they're 12-8. The Angels are 10-9 with a -9 run differential. The Mariners are third with a -4. Astros are 9-10 with a -2. And the A's are 9-11 with a -7. So bad. And this feels like it's going to do that. Like, this is going to happen all year. I mean, it kind of happened last year. It started off differently. As we remember, the Mariners had quite a sizable lead at some point in that year. Don't want to get into that again. But it crunched at the middle of the season. And I think it's going to crunch again coming down to it. And then the team that won the division last year, the Astros, they only won 88 games. Like, I feel like that's going to happen this year. Best team in the American League last year was the Yankees. They won 94. Best team in the American League right now, technically, is also the Yankees. They're 13-7. I think the three best teams in the league right now are in the NL West. You could even say the four best teams in the league, you know, the Padres, Dodgers, Giants, D-backs, like all of the best teams are in the National League. And that's going to help the Mariners all year. So whether or not they're good, Jerry DePoto has built this team to win in situations like this where the league is bad. Like, he's built this team to, you know, max out at 90 wins. And, you know, potentially win the division. He still hasn't won a division since he's been here. But it feels like that 90 wins is going to win the AL West this year. If that. Like, the Rangers haven't been super convincing. And yet they're 12-8. So that's where this team is at. They're 10-10. They've played fine. It feels exactly where this team should be. The injuries are brutal. The depth is just poor. We're going to have to see Cole Young at some point this year, maybe sooner than later because of the Ryan Bliss injury. And depending on what Leo Rivas gives them in his opportunities. And the starting pitching depth has already shown to be the weakness of the squad. I talked about that at the first episode of the regular season. I talked about that in the preview episode. The starting pitching depth is not great. It's going to have to be Logan Evans' time at some point here soon. I appreciate Jerry doing the bit and trotting out Luis F. Castillo for a little bit. Two starts, not good. And then Emerson Hancock had the first start was so bad. Oh, it was awful. It was so bad. But let's all be nice to Emerson Hancock, okay? Let's be nice to him. Because he just had a decent start at Great American Ballpark, all right? I don't want to hear the Emerson Hancock slander until maybe his next start. I don't think he's consistently good enough. But listen, guys make adjustments all the time. I'm not ready to put down the Emerson Hancock cup yet. But I do think Logan Evans, from a pure ceiling standpoint, offers a lot more for me and probably for everyone else and for the team than Emerson Hancock. I think there's big concerns with his profile coming up. Like, he's, I think I comped him to Seth Lugo before the season started. That's just because he throws two breaking balls and those are his best pitches. He just, his fastball doesn't grade out well. And it's the minors. He's got a lot to, you know, there's a lot for him to, there's a lot of room for growth here with him having already two very good breaking pitches. And he can just throw those a ton. But you still need a pretty good fastball to survive in ball in 2025. Like, you just need it. Even Seth Lugo, his fastball is, like, he has a pretty good fastball. It's not a blow you away fastball, but it is a valuable fastball to play off of his very, very good secondary stuff that he has. And he throws three breaking pitches, like he, or even four breaking balls, really. So maybe Logan Evans will just do that. That seems like maybe it's the market inefficiency for Logan Evans to come up. Like, curveballs are kind of, they've fallen out of fashion in baseball. Like, they kind of, the sweeper took over. But maybe he'll just come up and Lance McCullers it a little bit and just throw 75% slider, sweeper, curveball and leave the rest for his fastball, sinker, potentially. I don't know. But he definitely, he offers something more than Hancock and Luis F. Castillo and whoever the hell else is in AAA for this team, because it's been quite bad. And I've heard nothing on the George Kirby front. I've heard almost exactly no news, which is not encouraging. Feels like shoulder could be one of those things that drags out for a while. Brian Wu didn't have a shoulder problem last year. He had that forearm, elbow, scary thing that prohibited him from going more than 60 pitches in a game until, like, July. I really hope that when Kirby comes back, it's full curb. But I've heard nothing about it. He's supposed to start, I know he's throwing. He's supposed to start rehabbing somewhat soon. I mean, he's been hurt for how long now? Since the end of February. It's been a little while, and that's why I'm worried. And who else do they have to even go to besides Logan Evans? Like, it kind of, at this point, has to be Logan Evans, because it could be Jonathan Diaz, I guess, or Blas Castano. And that doesn't inspire confidence. We've seen Jonathan Diaz before. We've seen what he can do. Not particularly inspiring. Logan Evans has had two very good starts of the year in Tacoma. I think it's going to have to be him. And given that I haven't really heard anything about George Kirby, Logan Evans might be on this team when the clock strikes May. I think Emerson Hancock might make another start for this team. He was fairly effective against the Reds, who have, to be fair, been quite a poor offensive team this year. But it was at Great American Ballpark, and I think he gave you a lot more than you'd think he would. The problem is his next start would fall at Boston. That lineup is much better than the Reds, and that ballpark is similarly brutal for pitchers. You'd hope maybe his changeup can get a lot of ground balls, but he's had home run troubles and just leaving the ball. Like, the changeup is a really effective pitch if you can locate it and if you have a good fastball. And maybe he might not have either of those things. But his, listen, I got to give him props. He didn't get a decision against the Reds, but five innings, two runs, struck out four. That's a serviceable start. And they won that game. It ended up being an insanely insane game, but they won that game. It's just, I think, I'm excited to see Logan Evans, because we don't have, he would be so different from the other guys on this team. This team is so led by elite fastballs, good off-speed stuff, Logan's splitter is amazing. His slider is really good. Luis Castillo, obviously, his slider and his changeup on their when they're on, they're damn good. Like Bryce Miller's throws 8 pitches, but Logan Evans has that opportunity to have a true plus breaking pitch mix. It's just the fastball that is just a question, but I think it's worth figuring out in the big leagues with the big league coaches. I think we're at that point where he'll probably do enough. He did enough in Arkansas last year. He's going to do enough in Tacoma this year to just be like, to just earn reps, to just see what he looks like against major league hitting. Otherwise, rest of the pitching staff has been fine. You know, I don't think we should see Luis F. Castillo again this season. I'd hope not. You know, all the love to the guy, but no. The story of the season thus far, and it still is weird for me to even say anything about this season. They've played 20 games. It's April 19th when you're listening to this, or even April 20th. I am going to wait fully until it's May before really picking some stats to focus on. But I think there's 3 guys that have defined the Mariners' season thus far. And it's Logan Gilbert, it's Andrés Muñoz, and it is Cal Raleigh. Any offense I could pick, like Randy's been good, Polanco's been good, Dylan Moore's been unreal. But Cal he's an animal. He's a league leader in home runs. He has 8 home runs. He's torpedoing from the left side of the plate. He is hitting with a normal bat from the right side of the plate. He is the best catcher in baseball. I said he was last year with contention from William Contreras, but catcher above all other positions, in my opinion. Defense has to be half of the battle here. And he is consistently one of the best defensive and offensive catchers in the game. He's doing no less this season. Scorching hot. He's on pace for a 65 home run season. Maybe after today's game, he's back down to 62. Scorch the Reds. Mammoth home runs. His swing is a little different this season. D-Row on MLB Network broke it down tremendously the other day after his 2 home run game against the Reds. Stand back on the ball a little bit more with his legs. But overall, very similar to what he's just done since his first full season in 2022. It's been not surreal to watch. It's just been special. We know they extended him. He's just, I will not take for granted how effective and special that he is. And underrated part of his season thus far is he's hit 8 home runs. His BABIP is 182. Like, all of his production is home runs thus far. He's being even more home run reliant this season. Like, he's still striking out a lot. He's taking a decent number of walks, but it's just dingers. And he has 3 stolen bases. He had 6 last year. He's going for double digits this season. Like, he's going to put up a 30-10 catcher season. That would be 6 Fangraphs WAR. Like, I think that would legit earn him MVP votes. Like, he's not going to win MVP. It would take a Herculean effort for a catcher in today's game to win MVP, especially just in the American League with who he's contending with. But man, he's been so good, and he's catching the pitching staff again so well. He hasn't wavered in how good defensively he is. It's just, God, he's special. He is so special. Since he came up in 2022, his first full season, because remember he played 40 games, 2021 when he first debuted, but 2022, since his first full season, among all qualified catchers, first in Fangraphs WAR by a full win, first in home runs with 99. That's 24 ahead of second place in Salvador Perez. He is what is he, fifth in WRC plus with a 119. Like, he is just so good. It's crazy how this team has been built and how we talk about this team, because they've done the hard part. They've done so many of the hard parts. They've built almost an entirely homegrown pitching staff that is a consensus top, at least top 10, probably top 5 pitching staff in the game. That's, again, mainly homegrown. Besides Luis Castillo, they made a really effective trade and have more or less molded Andrés Muñoz, them from the Padres, took him and molded him into one of the game's best late inning options. They have Julio Rodriguez and Cal Raleigh up the middle, like a franchise catcher and center fielder who more or less came up at the same exact time, all in tandem with this homegrown pitching staff and very good developed back of the bullpen arms. Like, they have done the very, that it's so hard to do that, especially the franchise catcher and center fielder. Like, two franchise players up the middle is so difficult to accomplish, and they've done it, and yet we still talk about them like we hate them. I say them as the front office and the owners, and with good right. They've built the bones of what is could be such a good team, and then filled in the flesh around these bones with Rowdy Tellez, Leo Rivas, Miles Mastrobuoni, Dominic Canzone. Like, God, it's so bad. I shouldn't even disrespect Mastrobuoni. He's actually been quite a decent presence at the plate to start this year. Pleasantly surprised. He's been a lot more effective than Luke Rayleigh even has, Leo Rivas, Mitch Garver, Rowdy Tellez, Solano Canzone. He's been way more effective than all those guys. But yeah, Cal is tremendous, and we love him. And the other backbones, Logan Gilbert, he's going to win the Cy Young this year. His splitter is one of, if not the best in the game, maybe not with Roki Sasaki's floating around there, but his splitter looks different this season. And that is a huge X factor for him. He's thrown less of his arsenal, and maybe that'll evolve as the season goes on. But overall, he's really focusing more on just his best pitches this year. Like, there's been a lot less cutter and even less curveball so far this year. It's just been heavy fastball, slider, splitter. All three of those pitches are plus-plus pitches, leaning into what he's super good at. And he's been phenomenal to open the year. And then Andrés Muñoz has yet to give up a run. He has a 0 ERA in 10 innings. He's already thrown 10 innings, though, which is kind of insane. I tweeted this out. 10 innings is the most he's thrown by April 17th in his career. I think he's topped out at 12 innings, and that was 2020. Oop, hit my microphone. 12 innings, I think, in April and March, he's done that. That's his record amount of workload in those months, and he's going to smash through that because they've needed it. They've needed it so bad, but he's been so good. He hasn't even really thrown this changeup. I think he's thrown it once or twice. But he's been phenomenal. Like, again, the bones of this team, the bones are so good. But it's just, they're 10-10, and they should be 10-10 because it's just not convincing. A lot of it is just not convincing. And some of it is downright just hilarious. Like, the Polanco situation's ridiculous. He can't swing from the right side, as I said earlier. He's raking from the left side. He faced a pitcher lefty on left yesterday in the Red Series, which someone must have looked up when the last time he did that was, because he literally can't swing right-handed, can't play third base as they wanted him to. He's going to have to play second probably at some point this season if he's healthy enough to do so. But right now, he's earned the right to DH, especially against right-handed pitching, because who their other DH could be, Mitch Garver, awful. Luke Rayleigh has had a slow start to the year, but I'm not too worried about him. I'm a lot more worried about Mitch Garver as we saw him flail all season last year. Rowdy Tellez hit a home run yesterday against the Blue Jays, but still, I hold firm he's going to be DFA'd come May 1st unless he really turns it on this last 10 days of April. Solano's been garbo, terrible, like really bad, really small sample, really, really small sample, and I'm not going to give up on him. They're not going to give up on him yet. I think he'll make it through May, and if he doesn't start raking against lefties, I guess it's Tyler Locklear time. Sure. It's been a very Mariners start to the season. I think if you told everyone on April, going into April 19th, they are 10-10. Yeah, everyone I think wouldn't bat an eye. Julio's had cooled off. Didn't have a very good Red Series at all. Did not hit home runs in Great American Ballpark like he should have. But Dylan Moore did. The longest tenured Mariner did. But yeah, I'm waiting until May. And then May is when the stats come out. May is when I'm gonna pick some stats and be like, that's good, that's bad. Predict the rest of the season. Like after a somewhat full month of April for a player, I think once you get enough batted balls, once you get enough batters faced from the pitching side, you can kind of, you can start taking stats with a little bit, putting more stock into stats after a certain amount of batted balls and after a certain amount of reps and stuff. All these stats currently, grain of salt, still so early in the season. It's so hard to not get wrapped up in the really bad stats to start the year. The really good ones, it's like Dylan Moore almost has a 200 WRC plus. Like Josh Rojas had that until like the middle of May, I feel like, last year, and then regressed to the mean. It's easier for me to not bat an eye at the really good stats and hyper-focus on the bad ones. But I'm not going to do that because it's early. It's very early. The only other thing I want to talk about, and I'm probably going to put out a midweek podcast next week about some other MLB topics that I want to chat about. The bullpen usage this season has been odd. I think I may have chatted about it last podcast, but I think Dan Wilson is very much learning on the job, especially how to manage bullpen. It's more the back of the pen has been Munoz and Spire, and then it's just been very shaky. And more so than any other position, it's very hard to really gauge how good a guy's going to be in the pen all year from even a month. Like, relievers you really need through May to make that decision. It's more about the eye test than anything. Carlos Vargas has been a standout, which has been refreshing to see, which has been kind of crazy. Gregory Santos has one of the weirdest starts of the year I've ever seen. He's down in Tacoma now. He's been demoted. Hasn't struck out a guy yet this year. 7 innings and 8 outings, no strikeouts. I tweeted about the record for outings to start a year without a strikeout from a relief pitcher, and it's 13. But that guy also had less innings than Santos. I think 7 innings would put him like, I think, 13th overall in that leaderboard. So when and if, because I think he's definitely coming back up at some point. When and if he comes back up, he needs to strike guys out. It is one of the funniest savant pages I've seen. Its ground ball percentage is like 100th percentile. And his, let's see, what I'm just going to it right now. I think it's the only one that's actually in the red. Yes, ground ball percentage, 93rd percentile with almost 65% ground balls. Fastball velocity would be like 90th if it was qualified. Everything else, garbage. Chase percentage, 1. First percentile, whiff. First percentile, K. First percentile, walk. Second percentile, it's awful. And his stuff plus is not even grading out well. It's not even that he has crazy stuff, is walking a lot of guys, but guys are just getting a piece of it and grounding out. No, his stuff is just bad. So I don't know what has happened to him. Like, he was I don't even know. Like, he's gonna have to figure it out in Tacoma, because it was a fairly sizable trade for him. I mean, I don't think the Mariners are missing like Prelander, Barroa, or Zach DeLoach, but it was meant to really stabilize this pen for the next few years, because he was under team control and he's only 25. And he's come out and has looked so bad. Like, no one, he can't miss bats, which is pretty crazy given that he throws like a 95 mile an hour slider with a high fastball and sinker. It's crazy, but he can't miss any bats. I think it's got to be something with the shape of those pitches, because you can't just throw hard in today's game to stand out. It's all about the shape. And maybe that's just awful. Someone will look into that. It's ridiculous to watch this season. It was inspiring zero confidence. But for as little confidence as he inspired, Carlos Vargas has inspired plenty, which has been great. Colin Snyder's been fine, I think, again. Solid middle relief arm. And then the injury news from the two injured lads, Troy Taylor. He got promoted. He was back from rehabbing in Tacoma. Had one inning. Didn't get through the inning versus the Reds. Didn't look ready. Immediately demoted. So I don't know what happened there. Maybe they thought he was ready, and then immediately it was very apparent he was not. He was all over the place. His stuff looked okay, but he was all over the place. Terrible. Back in Tacoma. I'm still really high on Troy Taylor, and they're really going to need him this year, but that was bad. And then Matt Brash has been rehabbing in Tacoma, and he's close to being back. I think maybe when they head to Boston next week, because they have an off day after this Blue Jays series. They have Saturday and Sunday, an off Monday. And that theoretically, right, would be, because AAA is off Monday too, that would be a travel day for Matt Brash to go to Boston. Yeah, that would be nice. I've seen some videos from Tacoma. He's looking mighty fine down there, which has been so nice. And they need him so bad. I think they need him on a per-inning basis, yes. They need him to get outs, yes. They need him to just take some of the chunk of leverage work from Andrés Muñoz, where Gabe Spire can't. I'm all for using Muñoz a lot. I'm all for putting Muñoz in before the ninth inning, even. Just it, because he's so damn good. It's almost a sure thing he's going to get outs for you. And I'm all for using him a lot. Like, you have him, and you should use him a lot. But he's been used too much to start this season. It's been out of necessity, like I said, but it's been too much. His career high in innings in a season was 2022, which is really his breakout. 65. That is a lot of innings for a relief pitcher. But if you're healthy all season and you're really good, that is a very solid size sample. And that's somewhat typical. I would say, you know, elite relievers are getting 50 to 70 innings a year and very good on a per inning basis. He did both that year. Following year in 2023, he was a little hurt, 49 innings. Last year, 59 and a third, and he was hurt at the start of the year. So a lot of miles on him as a relief pitcher in the last 3 years, and he's been hurt in between those a little bit too. No catastrophic injuries in between those seasons or during those seasons. Thankfully, nothing too bad that happened for him already. But 10 innings after 20 games, you do the math. He's not throwing, how many would that be? Let me do the quick math real quick. Yeah, that's like what? 85 innings? Something like that? 80 innings? He's not throwing 80. 80 innings. Matt Brash didn't even get to 80. When was that? 2023? When he threw like 74? Yeah, no. He's used too much so far. He's been very good. He's chock full of win probability added in the plus margin right now. But we desperately need Matt Brash back on the team. Gregory Santos deciding to just fully not strike anybody out was definitely a wild card move from him, not one that I foresaw. I thought he could be that guy to take some of the workload off of Munoz throughout this season. Because I remember talking about this last year. If you want to make the playoffs, you're going to need Andrés Munoz. And you are going to work the hell out of him in the playoffs. Like, for a good playoff run, like, hypothetically, they go to the World Series. That's a lot of games. You were pitching Andrés Munoz, ideally, in games you win every game, more or less. And so you need him. You need him for September. You need him for October. And that's why we need Brash back. But it sounds like it's close, and there's, you know, there's the little voice in the back of your head that tells you, is Brash going to be okay after surgery and a long recovery? One hopes so. The stuff on Twitter, on Mariners Miners, the stuff from Tacoma, those videos certainly look like Matt Brash, but we'll have to see it up in the big leagues with more StatCast data behind it, and we'll just have to see. But I'm excited because not only is it functionally very good for this team, it's Matt Brash, dude. And he's awesome to watch. He's just amazing to watch, and we need him back so bad. So this team is fine. You know, they just lost to the Blue Jays. They're going to need to not lose more to the Blue Jays because historically they win in Toronto, and I'd like to beat the Blue Jays. They're going to the Red Sox, and then that is capping off their first long road trip of the year, which is a big test, and then they get a lot of divisional matchups after that. Team's not inspiring, tremendous amount of confidence, but there's fun ones. This is a good group of players. Early on, 20 games in, this is a team that is already more fun to root for, I think, than last season's team. And I'll even throw Rowdy Tellez in there. He's just a fun guy to root for. But, like, having Randy on the team from day one of the season is what makes that for me. It's what automatically makes it, like, so much more fun because he is awesome. And he's been really good. He's been hitting in the clutch. He's been maybe the best clutch player of the season so far. Very small sample. But he's had already 20 games in, amazing moments late in games where he does exactly what the team needs of him. And that's exactly what he should do. I said it before the season started. He has never been a bad hitter since he got promoted to the big leagues. He's been a good above average hitter every single season. And he's continuing it so far this year. Obviously, the way he plays the game is tremendously appealing. And then honestly, rooting for like call-ups is something this team didn't really have last year. You know, like maybe, like they had Tyler Locklear, I guess, last year, and we saw a little bit of Ryan Bliss. I can't say I was too excited for Ryan Bliss coming up last year. And other than that, they didn't have any like really exciting prospects. Like, you're not throwing Dominic Canzone in that bucket. You're not throwing Cade Marlowe in that bucket. Like, Tyler Locklear was really the only guy. And the only reason is because, like, hey, this guy hits the ball really hard. He's still doing that. But this year they have, like, Ben Williamson, who broke out in the minors last year, who, from a aesthetics perspective, maybe he's not a good hitter. But defensively, at a position like third base, it's nice to watch and fun to root for. And then you have impending guys to make an impact on the team who are actually, like, I can get excited about them, like Cole Young and Logan Evans, that are very close to the big leagues. So there's just already more, this team's already more appealing to me than last year's team was. So that is something at least to rest my hat on as the season has started. But I don't want these early season pods going too long, especially because I'm going to ramble about some absolute nonsense midweek next week. So I'll cap it here. But thank you so much for listening. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your week. And of course, go Mariners.